You're listening to a Ragnarok Actual Play. If you like what you hear and want to share your thoughts with us, you can follow us on Twitter at Ragnarok, like us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Ragnarok, email us at info@ragnarok.com, leave us a voicemail at 516-362-6373, or comment on our website. Ragnarok is also available through iTunes, so be sure to check us out there as well. Thanks for listening, and enjoy the game.
Now that we're
Black Eyed Peas, who really cares?
Nobody.
Yeah.
Maybe Fergie.
I don't even think she does.
Will I Am?
He cares. Mm. No, you know who cares? The other ones.
The other two?
Yeah. Will I Am and Fergie don't care. Hey, everybody, welcome to another Ragnarok Actual Play. Today we are playing Durance. Ryan, you're messing everything up.
Sorry.
Durance by the makers of Fiasco. That game we love so much.
Jason Morningstar.
Yes. We've done an AP of this before. Pretty much we are playing both the authorities and the convicts on a horrible, horrible prison colony. Today, the planet's name is RFS-617. Very homey. And we live in the colony of Burkstown. Mm-hmm. We've decided it's a well, the game told us it's a horrible, wet planet. Where
hot and wet.
Very, very jungly overgrown.
Yes. Lots of native animals that move in huge herd migrations. And there is intelligent natives who do not like us very much.
Because we shoot them.
Well, yeah, that probably has something to do with it. So our colony of Burkstown, I think we decided, has a large perimeter fence. And then where the convicts live. And then the center has an inner wall. And inside that area, where everything is paved and nice, it's probably a dome over that to keep all the water out, too.
Probably, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's where all the authority people live, in the nice, mostly dry part of town. And I think we just said the convicts get sent outside the camp for work orders. And I guess that's why you have to force them to work, because nobody wants to go outside the fucking fence.
Right, because it's marshland and, well, swampy, jungly, mosquito-y, and...
Yeah. I think we just said very marshy ground, but huge jungly trees.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not a fun place.
No.
Not at all. All right. I guess let's introduce our characters.
Sure.
I'll start since I have the governor. The governor's name is Laudra Varford. She is, I'm going to say that she was a former lawyer who was appointed governor of this colony. And her oath is, I will never betray my beloved Hollis.
Which brings me to Hollis Varford, the Dimmer Dammer, the head of the convicts. Hollis is Laudra's ex-husband, and he is a former cop who was on the take from some criminals so that he would look the other way. He got found out and busted. And Laudra specifically requested that he be... in her penal colony. Mm-hmm. Isn't that nice of her?
Because she's still in love with him.
Yes.
And tell everybody what's his prisoner number.
Oh, yes, his prisoner number is AAA001. Because he's always at the top of her list.
Mm-hmm.
And his oath is, I will never punish those who break the law.
Didn't you guys already have in the last game, you had someone who wasn't someone loved one was also in a penal colony? Or they got sent to a penal colony?
Oh, yeah, I was the governor, and Ryan was my wife, and very early on, he got sent into the penal colony.
We love being married to each other.
Well, no, we're no longer married.
Yeah, that's right. Now we're no longer married.
Mm. Yes.
I'm going to be playing, from the convicts, the abbot, the Lord of Vice.
Hey, abbot!
I got bad.
Hate that guy.
His name is Fortison Giambe. And from the authority...
Well, what's Fortison's...
Yeah, what's Fortison's oath?
Fortison's oath is that he will never abandon what he has built here. Because he is quite content.
That's a good oath.
Yeah.
And of the authorities, I will be playing a former convict... named Levy Stakens, who is his oath is, I will never place my own safety over the people's freedom, because he has freedom now and he loves it.
Yep.
All right, and We don't really have anybody in the roles of the judge advocate or the captain of the Marines.
No.
We've got Everett Keech.
Yes. My free count, my guy on the authority side, is a swell named Everett Keech. And he is, though he's a swell, he'd probably do just as well on the convict side. He is a merchant. Whatever you need, he can get it for you. But his oath is, I will never moderate my power, because he will make you pay for whatever it is you want. Could be on colony, off colony, outside the fence. He can try to arrange to get it for you, but it's going to cost you.
And my other character on the convict side is Clarvis Pill, convict number XDW413. And his oath is, I will never see goodness or value in any of this. And we decided that Clarvis is an anarchist dissident, but he doesn't actually have any real political leanings any kind of belief in individual rights or collective decision-making. He just hates authority and has a real problem with everybody.
He's the grumpy cat of this game. And just to remind everyone who's listening, in case you didn't listen to our last Durance AP, the goal of the game, there's really no set structure. We go around and do scenes, and we're trying to get our characters to break their oaths. That's really the goal, is to, and once four characters have broken their oaths, the game starts to wind down. So that's really what we're going for. Oh, and our drive for our colony is safety. Because, holy shit, it's bad out there.
Yeah, it's a dangerous world.
Yeah.
It's a dangerous world.
RFS 617.
And we never came up with names for the Bolter character or Lag and Sable. Yeah, we're supposed to have at least one.
All right, so
roll some dice here. We're going to give you a little sneak peek into the name generation process.
All right, 3-6.
3-6. Let's see.
4-6-3.
A female bolter.
Sure.
3-6 is Philvia. 6-3 is Laudra.
We did that already. 3-3.
3-3 is Wend.
Wend?
Wend.
All right. And Wend, her last name is 3-1.
3-1. Either Hawks or Pill.
Hawks.
H-A-L-K-E-S. So Wend Hawks. Mike, if you want to write that down under Bolters.
And we're going to need a lag.
Write it down. I don't have a thing to write it with.
Here, have my pen.
With what? I got to write with my urine?
Yes.
Some of us come prepared.
1-4. No, we did that already. 2-5.
2-5. Tim.
Tim. Some call me Tim. And 6-6 is his last name.
Tim Halo. H-A-Y-L-O-W.
All
Tim
right.
Halo.
Halo?
Halo.
Halo. All right, so that's our lag.
He's our lag guy.
All right, we got Wend and Tim.
All right. So, I'm the first guide, so I'm going to ask, since you guys, since Hollis seems to think that Levy, as Meyer's character wants to be called, is his man on the inside, since he's a free man now.
Right.
How did Hollis persuade Levy to snoop for him in the authority camp?
All right, so I would picture the scene would be a bit of a flashback. A day or two before Levy is supposed to be freed.
Mm-hmm.
It's a rainy day, like it always is. Yeah. Weather report said the sun might shine through later today for about 15 minutes, if we're lucky.
That's a nice day.
Yeah, it's a good day. Nice. Lots of sun.
The rain is just coming down in huge droplets. Everybody's spattered with mud just from the rain itself.
Yeah. Then the Dimmer Dammer Hollis comes over to Levy's little hut. I would imagine his corrugated tin hut. And over in the convict side, everyone's roof is made of corrugated tin, which is awful because the rain is just cacophonous.
Yeah, so it's very loud.
Yes. The Dimmer Dammer is one of the fortunate ones who has an umbrella.
You know what? I've got an idea for a detail. Let me know what you think.
All right.
As the Dimmer Dammer is walking through the streets, people take off their coats.
I was thinking there are guys with planks who are laying them in front of him as he walks,
and then
running behind him and picking them up and moving it back. But I feel like Hollis Varford isn't that kind of Dimmer Dammer.
The man of the people.
Yeah.
He's
like a man. I have a feeling he is the Dimmer Dammer because he's the governor's ex-wife.
He's humble.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of like an analogous character. I guess he's kind of like, you know, the governor from Walking Dead in that, you know, he's a man of the people. Like he's you don't want to fuck with him and piss him off, but for the most part, he's a nice guy.
All right.
So he walks through the mud with everyone else.
All right.
I think if only because it gives him also more political cred.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, he could say, yeah, I'm with you guys. I got mud on my boots just like you. Mm-hmm. But he does have an umbrella.
Well, let's say he has a nice pair of, like, knee-high boots.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, Levy?
Oh, Dimmer Dammer, how's it going?
Yeah, pretty good. Good things are going rather well for you.
I'm free, couple days now. Yeah,
free man. I remember what that was like.
So, what brings you down to my neck of the woods?
Well, I wanted to talk to you, Levy.
All right.
You see, it's not every day that people from our side of the wall get to go to the other side. You know that.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I do. Do you want to sit down?
Thank you. I brush the dried mud off of seats and sit down, because anytime you're inside, there's dried mud on everything.
Yep.
So, I wanted to talk to you about a proposition.
All right.
Like I said, sometimes it's hard for us here on the outside to know what's going on the inside.
Yeah.
And it's important for us. I mean, those are the people that decide everything that happens to us. They decide how to punch our ration cards, which of us are going to be going out for work detail.
Hmm.
I need eyes and ears on the inside, Levy.
So you want me to be your inside man?
Yeah. Yeah, I need an inside man. Someone who every once in a while can slip a message to one of my boys to get back to me that, you know, such and such is happening. Talk of the town sort of thing. You know, you'll be in there. I know people are going to look down on you. You know, You're not going to be, you know, having dinner with my ex-wife, but, you know, maybe you go to the bar one night, just listen, see what people are talking about, then let me know.
I'm going to ask a clarifying question here.
Mm-hmm.
How interested is Hollis in what his ex-wife is doing?
Oh, very.
Okay, so you should point that out specifically.
Okay, yeah. And if you do happen to hear anything about the governor, let me know.
All right, well... You know, I helped you out any way I could, you know. But how am I supposed to? How expect me to, you know, send, you know, messages through the wall?
We have a system. There's a dead drop. One of the far sides, loose brick.
Okay.
You can pull it out from your side, drop a message in, and my boys can get it from the other side.
All right. Sounds good. I will,
I'm going to ask a clarifying question to Meyer now.
Yeah.
Is Levy at all upset about the risk that he's taking in being the...
Nope.
No? All right, so he sort of sees that as his support of other people's freedom.
Yeah.
All right, so yeah, he's not afraid to risk his own safety and stuff.
I think Levy is an older guy. He's probably in his 50s. Late 50s. So, I mean, he sees us, you know, he's done his, I think as a youngin', you know, he's done terrible, has been pretty bad stuff. You know, maybe some gangs. But now he's older and he, you know, he's kind of learned his ways, but, you know, he's seen how the jails are, and, you know, he realizes, you know, this is terrible, and doesn't teach you. You know, jail is supposed to, like, try to
rehabilitate you.
And this is not. It's just labor, and like, and cruel.
The cons borderline use, starvation.
Yeah. The cons could use any break that they can get, the lags.
Yeah.
Governor stands up. Well, Levy, I appreciate it. Sticks out his hand.
And I go,
good luck to you.
No problem.
Enjoy having a roof over your head.
Yeah, that's
it
one thing I'm
not... sound
like...
like this.
Yeah. One that doesn't sound like a drum band.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not expecting much on the wall, but one thing I'm really looking forward to is not a metal roof over my head.
Yeah, I could imagine. Well, I'll tell him where, you know, where the dead drop is, what spot exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you hear something, my boys will check it every night at 10 p.m. No, my boys will check it every night at 2 a.m.
Okay.
So you just keep an ear open and an eye out.
Yeah. I'm just going to make, like, a little note sheet for us.
Okay.
So we got dead drop. Loose brick. 2 a.m. pickup. All right.
And then the Dimmer Dammer walks out, opens up his umbrella, and starts trudging back through the mud. I don't know about you guys. I picture it's like a circular city.
Compound.
Compound.
Sure.
All right.
So that's that scene. That answered my question. We know what he expects from you, and you know what everybody's interested in, what your investment is in this. So now play passes. You didn't really break your oath there. In fact, you're upholding your oath.
Yeah.
And you didn't either.
No.
No, because you're facilitating people breaking the law.
Yeah.
So yeah, play passes to you then, Akas.
All right. I guess I will pose a question for Ryan. What is the start of the day like for Laudra Varford in Burkstown? Like what is she doing?
A day in the life of Laudra Varford.
Not a full day, but you know. Yeah. So let's fast forward to now, you know. Meyer's emancipated already. Levy. So what's happening? Or is that too vague of a question?
I can tell you what's happening. I just don't know that there's a scene in it that has any impact.
Okay.
Or here, I'll start it off, and then we can like.
Well, I was gonna give you a different one.
Okay.
How does Clarvis feel? You know, let's say a week later, Levy's on the inside. How does Clarvis feel when one of the guards tells him that he's been picked for work duty today? How does Clarvis react to that?
Okay.
Meyer, you want to be the guard, Corporal Dalvin Glower?
Yeah.
Alrighty.
So Corporal Glower is here to tell Clarvis Pill that he's on work duty.
Yeah.
What work duty?
Okay.
Outside the fence.
Ooh.
You can figure that out.
Clarvis is situated in his normal spot. The convicts have, you know, wherever the convicts congregate.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a souk or a marketplace type deal, and Clarvis is decrying the evils of the capitalist system that the authority is using to impose its values on the lags. And those of you who go out there and you buy those Keech ponchos, you're just succumbing. You're just prostrating yourselves before the will of the man.
Someone yells, "Shut up, Clarvis!"
You've been brainwashed. I know how you think, man.
I'm trying to eat my fucking soup.
Take the red pill, dude.
What does that fucking mean?
And then the gate opens and
anybody else want water?
I'll take one.
Yes, please. And the gate starts opening and that's Maybe. Do you think it's like a signal somehow of that, you know, work detail is
happening? The reason I have a scene.
Like as a bell.
Where you start choking.
I think there's like a bell or a hole just opens.
I would think there's probably in the entrance to the inner compound, it's probably like a double fence.
Yeah.
Just probably like some sort of light on the outside signaling that it's opening.
Yeah.
So everyone knows the guards are coming out.
Yeah, I'm going to say that that's pretty much... there's a little spinning light on top of the gate. It starts signaling that the gate is opening, and everybody sort of, you know, picks up their business and gets
quietly brings it elsewhere.
Yeah, but Clarvis is just that kind of character. He's completely oblivious. You're just marching right along to their drum beats, man. You know that?
All right, we got... work detail, people. And he says, you know, and whoever he sees, he's like, you're in there, you're in there.
It's just like, you.
Hey, Clarvis. You're in. Work detail.
I'm sorry, man, I couldn't hear you over the sound of bacon.
What a fucking asshole.
Clarvis, work detail now, you dirty fucking hippie bastard.
Oh, excuse me?
Say that one more time.
Well, just it's a police state, Maya.
Yeah.
You can beat the crap out of
him. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Say that one more time. Nothing, Clarvis?
No.
No?
I'm guessing that you just, like, get real close to him and
he goes right up to your face.
Maybe you got, like, a shock baton or something.
Yep. He does it up.
Listen, man.
Rain hits it.
Listen, man, I don't want any trouble.
Work detail. Now,
one of the other convicts from the back, the one that Clarvis was yelling at before, was like, hey, Clarvis, what were you saying before about the man being there to keep you down and being really awful?
No. Yeah, we are pretty awful. He just hits you.
Shocks him
right in the gut.
There's a few chuckles.
Yep.
One day, man. One day there's going to be a reckoning. And all this is going to come down around your ears.
Clarvis, listen, he goes on a knee to you because you're probably on the ground. Get in line because you don't want me to fuck you. Because I'm going to fuck you like a freight train. Choo-choo! Now get in the fucking line.
Clarvis is sitting there kneeling in the kneeling in the mud, clutching his midsection in pain, amid just a spread of wet mud-covered pamphlets that he dropped.
I love that he was passing out pamphlets.
Nobody was taking them, and he you know gets slowly to his feet, and he shuffles over to the convict crew, to the lag work crew. And just sort of like, as the guard turns away, he goes.
All right. Well, that definitely did not break Clarvis's oath, but that was that was fantastic. All right, so Meyer, now you ask a question. That sets a scene.
Okay.
For one of the PC characters, not one of the NPCs.
Yep. No, I want to know what.
I want to know what Tim Halo is
doing. That's what I was
going
to say. Yeah.
Tim Halo is sitting in his hut dealing cards.
I'm
whistling a jaunty tune.
I would like to know. What kind of clientele Everett Keach gets to his merchant detail?
Okay. I would imagine that Everett Keach has a storefront on the inside, but he probably also has, like, a cart that he takes outside sometimes. Because, you know, so there are lots to sell things to the convicts.
Right.
If he wants to. He doesn't have, like, a security detail. Well,
he sells ponchos, right?
Yeah.
If the inner city is domed...
They wouldn't need ponchos.
Yeah, he probably doesn't do much business.
Yeah. So he has his poncho carts.
So he's walking around.
Yeah. Ponchos, get your ponchos. Keep your ponchos made from real vart skin. Nothing keeps you drier than a keech. Come on, you fucking drown rats, buy a poncho.
Let's see.
That's a spiel, but everyone knows that you can get other things from keech.
Oh my god.
What?
I've got an idea. Clarvis comes stumbling out of the, stumbling back into the compound. He is completely covered in muck and grime because they had him...
Doing the worst.
They had him mucking out the drainage pipes.
No, the sewage pipes.
Okay, sure.
They clog up.
Yeah.
The sewer pipes. So he's...
Climb in.
He's just absolutely covered in filth.
Yeah, there's a good, like, 10-foot circle around him.
he walks up to he walks up to Keech and he goes, "You gotta get me a hit tonight, man."
Whew. You gotta stand a few foot back, son.
I can't take it, man. These capitalist pigs, they got me marching to their tune, and I really need a hit.
Yeah. It's gonna cost you, you know.
And you know I burn my paychecks every week.
Well, maybe if you didn't spend so much money on those damn pamphlets, you'd be able to afford what you really needed. Not that I mind getting them printed for you.
Listen, man. Do whatever you want. I even mentioned you specifically in my rants. They know your name now, man. Everybody hates me. They'll be sure to buy your shit.
Kid. Everyone would have hated you anyway. You literally smell like shit. Look, I'll see what I can do. You know where the dead drop is.
Yeah, I do.
You said you'll do anything, huh?
Whatever you want, man.
All right. Midnight. I'll leave it in the usual spot. And a note with what your payment is.
You'll give me an ounce?
Yeah. Yeah, we could do that.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate this.
Not as much as I'm gonna. Now, seriously, go wash up. You smell like shit.
It's raining.
Yeah. I could smell you in the rain.
And in one scene, Clarvis goes from, that's probably why he can't see the good in any of this. He completely betrayed his ideals for his drug problem.
I had to figure out what Keech would ask of him. I figure probably to smuggle something or...
Well, Meyer, do you think that concludes that scene since you're the guide?
Yeah, that seems good.
Oh, no, I know what he would ask. All right,
so then I'll ask you, what does Keech want from Clarvis and why?
All right, well, Keech wants Clarvis to volunteer for work duty the next day. Because Keech found out that, you know, in the area where the pipes are, where they're digging, there's a plant that grows that he can use to manufacture more drugs. So he needs Clarvis to go out there to bring some back.
All right.
Which means Clarvis has to volunteer for work detail again.
To go out.
Yeah.
All right. So let's see. How can we turn this into a scene? Convict Nobles and
perhaps Filvia Gunmouth is out surveying the work duty this time.
Okay.
Making sure things are going the way they're supposed to.
Mm-hmm. So, Meyer, do you want to be Filvia? She's
sure.
The Marine captain.
Okay.
EDP, I'm a girl.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Is this as good as my Russian accent when I'm trying to do a Russian trying to do a Spanish?
Better.
Learn Spanish? Oh, that's very good. Yeah.
All right, so I guess it's the next day. It's raining just as hard.
Yeah. I picture if Filvy is going to be a female captain of the Marines, she does not take shit from anybody.
Oh,
she's
no.
Just tough as nails.
I kind of remind. I think she kind of looks like Brienne of Tarth, you know, Thrones.
Tall and ugly.
And you don't want to fuck with her.
But
no, you
like
don't.
Very, very starched and yeah, just.
All right. Yeah. So. All the Marines this time, instead of just coming out and harassing the prisoners, mm-hmm. Captain on deck! Standing at attention.
And, like Corporal, people probably run away from Phil.
Yeah. When what's his face? Corporal Glower announces that the captain is coming out, all the lags just start to disperse and split.
Suddenly have somewhere else to be.
And it leaves pretty much just you and your cart.
Okay.
Since this has to be...
Oh, right, yeah, it's a Keech scene.
Yeah.
All right. Ah, Captain, what can I get you? Poncho? Maybe a poncho?
I don't want anything from you, Keech. I need men for work detail.
Ah, well, seems like all your men just went the other way. It's a circle, though. They'll be back around. I think Keech is, you know, kind of fat, short. He's got stubble on his face. Very unpleasant to look at.
I think Filvia turns, just Corporal, find me men. Now.
Yes, ma'am. He salutes, and you can see his hand kind of shakes as he salutes, because he is terrified of this woman. Mm. And he orders a detail of men to, you know, go door to door and drag people. But what if they won't open up? I don't care. Drag them into the fucking street if necessary. And they proceed to do just that, like...
As they're dragging men out amidst the chaos, Keech leans over to the captain and goes, I'll have the usual for you tonight, 10 o'clock in your mailbox. And he pushes his cart away.
So the captain of the Marines is addicted to drugs.
It could be anything.
Yeah, no, it could be anything.
It's just something she usually gets.
He's the black marketeer guy.
Yep. No, he's the poncho guy.
Keech, before you leave...
Yeah?
Who's working for you this time?
That little shit, Pill.
Alright. I'll make sure he goes unseen for a while.
Nah. Thanks, Captain. You know, but you can still put him in the shithole, that's fine.
I'm planning on it.
And Keech pushes him. Ponchos, get your ponchos.
I'm picturing Keech walking past the guys who just got thrown in the fucking mud.
Yep.
You want a poncho?
Get them now.
Looks like you're a little late.
Last chance. Alright.
Alright, so
I definitely did not he did not moderate his power at all.
No. So you're the guide.
No, right, you are.
So, no, he has asked.
That was my question to you.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
Is
that really a question, Ryone?
So we have what other notes?
I thought that was Meyer's question.
No,
Meyer's question was
what sort of clients does he get?
What sort of clients does he
get? Oh, okay. And then gotcha. Okay,
yeah, I came.
All right, so. We gotta get Laudra in here. So I guess my question would be, how does Laudra treat the prisoners?
All right. I'm going to say that.
I have a question, but then that's going to also put one of my characters in the scene too.
I'm going to say.
I mean, there's only three of us. It's kind of hard not to.
Yeah. Laudra is going to be setting up her weekly meeting with the judge advocate and the captain of the Marines.
All right.
She's very hands off. She doesn't really deal with people directly. But
okay. So I'll be the judge.
So yeah. Yeah. So I'm gonna say that we are in her office, very very lavish, very ornate, flowers everywhere.
Dehumidifier.
Dehumidifier. It is not a notch over room temperature in here, which on this planet is a goddamn miracle. very tasteful paintings and a wall of security monitors.
Wow.
I thought it's like a wall of huge painted wall.
Just behind her desk. And you notice just scenes from all over the compound, the prisoner's souk. So she has all of these security feeds. She obviously has other people monitoring them, mm-hmm. but she has them all pumped into her office so she can see what's going on, too.
So it's kind of like London with all the security cameras?
Yeah, all CCTV cameras mounted right. all around the place. And an inordinate number of the monitors focus on Hollis. Like you can see she will co-opt the cameras. She has like a little control panel, mm-hmm. and she's following Hollis, you know, like across the street with one of them watching him as he goes.
The judge advocate is fidgeting nervously in his chair while she's adjusting the cameras to follow Hollis around.
She turns around. Ah, sorry, I keep forgetting. Marge, Sylvia.
Yeah, ma'am.
How are we doing this morning?
very, very good. Yes. Things are going well.
The convicts are behaving, and so are the other residents. Everything's in order.
Excellent, excellent. That's what I love to hear. Mart, I heard that crime has been down.
Yes, crime is down. He pulls out a clipboard and starts with a overstuffed clipboard and starts going through papers. Crime is down 17% since yesterday.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm so proud of the both of you for all.
I feel like she's Laudra though. Also gets like daily updates.
Yeah.
So crime is down 17% since yesterday. That's like, you know.
Yeah, it's a meaningless statistic.
Exactly. Yeah.
If we can maintain that for another 6 days running, perhaps we can increase rations.
Oh, that, well, the convicts would certainly be in favor of that. Perhaps we could spread the word through the Marines that good behavior will be rewarded with rations.
I like the way you think, Mard. Philvia, do you think your people can handle that?
I find it that the convicts are easier to control by with fear.
Well, we do have to let them know their place if they're being unruly, but if they are behaving, I see no problem with giving them a reward or two.
Sounds good to me.
So she has this very maternal way of dealing with things, and Filvia is just like, nope, we need to beat these people down.
there is one other issue, ma'am.
And that would be?
Prisoner AAA-001. It seems that there are implications that he may be dealing in contraband. How would you like to address that issue?
Hollis. She swivels around in her chair and turns back to the monitors and locates him again. And he almost... He looks at the camera, and you can see that he knows that she's watching him.
He's standing there as the camera, like, moves and points at him. He waves.
He is a scamp. Filvia, take a detail of men over to his shack and turn the place upside down.
I will do that.
Don't be afraid to take a firm hand with him.
I won't.
He can handle himself.
Of course. I will see to it personally.
Scone?
Thank you. Alright. I love it. Scone? Perfect. Okay. Does that, I guess she didn't really betray him.
Well, she's protecting him.
From
himself, yeah. If she's the mother in this relationship, then, you know, making sure that he's not caught with contraband, or, you know, making sure that he's not getting himself in over his head is...
Oh, excuse me. Sorry, everyone.
Like, if she... When she said to you, don't be afraid to take a firm hand with him...
Yeah.
I'm going to say that she willfully ignores the fact that that Filvia and her men regularly beat the crap out of people, you know, and just like within inches of death.
Yeah.
But like, if she had a report that there was even, you know, a scratch on him from this encounter, she would probably have your job. So when she says that Filvia can take a firm hand, she means like, you know.
Be mean.
Yes, be mean to him. Be tough.
All right. We need to start breaking some oaths.
Break some oaths.
All right, Meyer, your question.
Okay. All right. My question is, how does Keech get away with selling drugs to the convicts? Because it's Guillaume-based turf.
Who's Guillaume?
He's the Lord.
Abbott,
yeah.
Okay.
I kind of have an idea for this scene. Because, what is it, Keech's oath is...
I will never moderate my power.
Okay.
Maybe Keech supplies Fortison?
Yeah, but then also why would he be selling it on his turf if you're supplying Fortison and he's selling on his, you know...
Maybe Fortison can't sell drugs. Maybe...
I mean, he's the Lord of Vice.
Right, but I mean, there's no gambling, prostitutes.
I will never abandon what I have built here. Fortison Gambay.
Is it maybe
he focuses on the other vices, or maybe Keats is actually working for Gyambe.
He can never moderate his power. He wouldn't give up his...
Maybe Gyambe's working with Keach. Maybe they're just partners.
Keach, yeah. Because what I was going to say is, who would be better to sell drugs around the convict area than somebody who's a free person with a cart who goes around selling things to people?
Mm-hmm. That's true, yeah.
It'd be the perfect distributor.
Yeah, that makes sense. So maybe the scene is Keach visiting Gyambe to give him the cut.
All right. So yeah, where is Gyambe's home base?
I picture Gyambe as, you know, he's
Fortisan Gyambe.
Fortisan Gyambe is I think he is a terrible person, and he belongs in jail. He knows he belongs in jail. He knows he's a piece of shit. But you know what? That's where he thrives. I picture him as he's a huge, muscly guy. He's pretty intimidating. I would say probably, I guess he does some drugs, but I think mostly prostitution, which he also, you know, he uses. He abides in his merchandise.
He keeps his own harem.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Right.
Yeah. And his own drug stash and, yeah.
All right, so I'm going to say that I'll contribute some details to the scene here. Keach parks his cart in front of a cigar shop, and the lags are milling around. And when Keach leaves his cart, everyone knows that nobody touches Keach's cart.
Right.
So he takes a manila envelope out from underneath some poncho, sticks it. He walks into the cigar shop. The guy behind the counter just sort of nods to him. Mm-hmm. And he goes down into the basement past some enormous pumps. And this is actually like a permanent physical structure. So it's cement and brick. Enormous pumps that are keeping the basement from just completely flooding.
Yeah. Even so, it's damp and drippy.
And
which I guess would make a great humidor for the cigars.
Yeah.
It's a natural humidor.
So yeah, there are shelves of cigars and a beaded curtain where you can hear beyond music playing, and Keach walks into a gambling parlor and whorehouse. There are lags, you know, the lags with money.
Yeah.
Gambling tables all over, craps, roulette, probably not roulette, probably more like craps and cards and a cockfight.
Yeah. Other dice games. Yeah. Keach grabs a cigar off a table by the entrance and cuts the tip and lights it as he's walking. Fortisan!
Fortisan comes over with a lag girl on each arm.
I have Fortisan's probably like on this nice coat, comfy coat couch, surrounded by chicks. He's got a cigar. Maybe he has a bowl of some type of drugs that he's also doing.
Oh, he's got like the Tony Montana pile of coke.
Yeah. Yep. Keach.
You gotta be careful. That stuff is hard to make.
I'm good. Where's my money?
Ah, come on, buddy. He reaches into his jacket, pulls out the envelope.
Thank you.
I wouldn't be a good partner if I didn't give you your cut.
No. What would I do without you?
I don't know. I'm kind of picturing Michael Clark Duncan talking to Danny DeVito.
Okay.
Like that sort of like size comparison.
Yeah. You know, I worry sometimes about you, though, Keach.
Why?
I mean, some of my boys have been talking. They say they can do the job you can do.
What? Sell for you?
Yes.
Keech bursts out laughing. Fartisan.
Oh, man. Your boys are fucking idiots.
I'm going to ask a clarifying question, even though it's not my scene. How does Fortison, who's fucking high off his ass on drugs, feel about the fact that this motherfucker's laughing at him?
Not very good.
Fortison, you really think any of your boys are going to be selling to the Marines? Come on. You know they hate those rags.
You don't think Fortison Giambe could sell to the Marines?
Oh, no. Fortison Giambe could. Little shit number two over there can't. You're going to tell me you're going to be the one walking around dealing all day in the rain and the mud? Look at me. His mud is up to his knees.
Keech.
The girls who are sitting pretty much flanking Gambe on the couch now look incredibly uncomfortable because they don't know what the hell he's going to do.
Fortison Giambe talks in the third person.
And always says Fortison Giambe. Yeah.
Especially
time.
When he's high off his ass yeah. on a mysterious drug.
That's hard, apparently hard to make.
Yeah. Needs a special plant, yeah. It's hard to make.
Fortison Giambe thinks you take too much of a cut. And Fortison Giambe started thinking maybe I cut you out of the deal.
Alex.
Yeah?
An incredibly huge lag, like bigger than Fortison, walks up behind your seated, I guess?
I think he's still standing.
All right. pretty much puts an arm on your shoulder and forces you to sit in the chair across from...
Fortison.
And then places his enormous hands on your shoulder. On your shoulders.
Fortison, come on. We've been doing business for years. It works well for both of us.
Fortison Giambe doesn't... You worked well with Fortison Giambe, but... You know... Fortison Giambe doesn't share. Fortison Giambe takes what Fortison Giambe wants. I want the whole share. I want the whole drug world.
And how you gonna run it? How you gonna make this stuff?
Well, maybe I just torture the shit out of you until you... Fortison Giambe will torture the shit out of you until you tell Fortison Giambe how to make it. And then Fortison Giambe will make his own. Fortison Giambe will sell it on his own.
Well, Fortison, I could tell you how to make it, but you don't have the equipment.
Then get Fortison Giambe the equipment.
If Fortison is making a power play, he's got to have something. Like
that's true.
Keech has all the cards now, so maybe how about this? The big lag says. Mr. Giambe has made arrangements to cut you out.
See, Fortison Giambe thinks Fortison Giambe has the stuff.
Huh? Okay, Fortison, you want the drugs? Fine, they're yours.
Stay out of my turf.
Huh? Sure thing.
If I even forced Ngiambe, hears a whisper that you are selling on Forest Ngiambe's turf. I'm gonna take your fucking head.
That's fine.
And when he says, "I will take your fucking head," the guy who is standing behind you comes out with an enormous knife and holds it to your throat.
Yeah, no problems, Fortison. We're good.
We're good.
It's all yours.
All right, give me more drinks for him. Sit down, we'll party.
All right. I would say you broke your
own. Oh, yeah.
Because you...
When Keech eventually leaves, he just leaves his cart.
All right, so then you broke your oath. So that means that... Let's see. Either a notable... You get to pick. A notable, not necessarily the Oathbreaker, changes position on the ladder.
Okay.
A planetary survey or colonial record assessment changes, for better or worse. Or the unique drive for the game changes.
I don't know. I really don't like any of those.
Well, you could say that,
Keech drops down.
Keech drops down, or...
I mean, I was just going to say, Keech... Yeah. Oh, excuse me. Yeah, I guess Keech would just kind of drop down to, like, Emancipus level, then. Because he can't really... I mean, no one on the inside is really buying ponchos that much.
Yeah, no. Or you could say that it affects somebody else. Like, maybe maybe Ngiambe is making a play to be the Dimmer Dammer.
Maybe. I mean, that wouldn't... He wouldn't just go up to be Dimmer Dammer. I mean, if he's making a play for that, I mean, that would have to be, you know, a scene.
But, I mean, I guess Clara isn't affected anymore. Well, he's working with Keech, but now, since Keech doesn't...
I'll just change the drive. Since it seems to be changing anyway.
From safety to...
I guess... Indulgence?
Okay, yeah.
Right now. We haven't really been playing for safety.
Well, no, we have.
Yeah.
It's been very important. It's what made you break your oath.
Yeah.
Right,
now it's indulgence.
Okay.
We haven't been using these dice, Ethan, the uncertainty dice.
And we'll start using them.
Nope.
My question is, how does that scene go between, what happens when Fylvia Gunmyth confronts Hollis in his shack about the accusations of of dealing in contraband.
All right, Hollis.
Because apparently there's a pretty raging drug problem happening in the colony.
Hollis is sitting in his shack reading a book.
And let's see, how much, like, a squad. Yeah, Fylvia is leading a squad, and they're marching.
So eight people.
Yeah, marching through the streets, right towards her house. And you know, when I get there, they stop and they kind of, you know, they go to attention.
You can hear, since it's obviously always raining.
Yeah.
You know, the pretty constant and consistent pitter patter of the rain as you read. You can hear the rhythm sort of change as Meyer's squad of eight people marching in perfect synchronization. And you just, you know they're coming.
Hollis sighs and puts a bookmark in the place and closes it up. Turns around and faces the door, waiting.
So, you go to the door and, the squad goes to attention. Like, knock on it. Hollis... Mace, how's, Varford?
Come in.
You come out.
I'm gonna ask a clarifying question. What kind of house does, because Laudra referred to it as a shack before.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it, compared to wherever she's living, it's a shack. But what are Hollis's living conditions like as the Dimmer Dad?
I would imagine Hollis, like I said, he's kind of the people, so, but it's a little bit better. Like, he has a door, which is probably more than most people have. Still the roof, you know, it's a corrugated tin roof. But he has, like, actual planking down for the floor so he doesn't have to walk on mud all the time.
Mm-hmm. Is there, I'm guessing there's probably, like, one of those enormous pumps to keep the water away.
Yeah, he's got, like, a dehumidifier and a pump. So it's slightly more comfortable in there. And a few more light bulbs than other people have. I think pretty much the person next door to him gave him his shack, so he was able to expand it, so it's bigger, too.
So he's got, like, a double?
Yeah. I mean, it's not huge. It's probably still smaller than this room. But he has more space than other people. Huh. And he probably also has... Well, actually, he's a Dimmer Dammer of the people. So he probably doesn't have a cement building to live in.
Well, if it's a show of, you know, respect that he should live in a cement building, then I don't think he would reject... The convenience, but I would say probably since he is, you know, such a folksy guy,
he's gonna stick with the shack. Maybe he has like curtains.
He has a collection of books, a small library, and that's a symbol of status because the books have to be kept dry.
Right. Yeah. So he has actual books. He sighs again, gets up, walks over to the door, and opens it. Ah, Filvia, what a pleasant surprise.
That is Captain Gunmouth to you.
So, what can I do for you, Filvia?
How does Filvia react to being badmouthed by...
I know if I punch him, I'm getting in trouble with the boss.
So that's why he calls her Filvia.
We have reports that you are hiding contraband in this house, so we are going to search it. So please, against the wall.
Go right ahead. I don't think all your boys are going to fit in here, though. It's not one of your fancy inner circle houses.
Boys tear it apart. And when I tear it apart, they mean like they're actually going to...
Yeah. No, that's... He's a prisoner. He's used to it. There's nothing there. He's the Dimmer Dammer. He doesn't keep his shit in his house.
Mm.
So how are things?
Oh, you know, wet, hot, humid. My people around here are starving, you know, same old. Mm. You're looking quite plump.
I just had a meeting with the governor.
Oh, how is Laudra doing?
Oh, she's the one who sent me to do this.
Oh, what a surprise.
You can hear from inside the shack crashing as, you know, they completely upturn your life.
Just tell them not to break anything this time.
Yeah, I would, but I really want to find that contraband.
There's nothing here, Filvia. There never is.
And why would there be rumors of the contraband?
Because people are idiots.
You run this place. You're a man of the people. Then why would one of your people be spreading that rumor?
We have a whole bunch of hungry, wet, sick, desperate people out here. I could think of a million reasons why people will be spreading rumors if it means they might get an extra punch on their ration card.
Well, yeah, we're loved here. It's just... And back in the days, there would never be one rumor about you. Now the rumors about you are spreading more and more each day, it seems.
Oh, that's if the rumors are actual rumors and not just excuses.
I'll ask another clarifying question. Does Filvia yet know that Keech is out of the drug dealing business, and what's his name?
Gambe.
Forsten Gambe is attempting to seize control of making a power play. Does she know this, and does she tell the Dimmer?
I think she knows. She's not going to tell.
Okay.
Though she's also, I haven't seen Keech out here recently.
He comes and goes.
Boys, my guards have said he hasn't been out here in a couple of days. It's unusual.
I wouldn't know. I'm not allowed to go inside and talk to him. I would think, though, that I'm just gonna step back for a second. I don't think she would know yet, because if she's getting stuff from Keech too, she would get, you know, if she's getting drugs from Keech, then if he stops supplying, she's going to start getting antsy real soon.
Yeah.
She wouldn't be that calm about it.
Well, she just got her stuff last night, though, didn't she?
She would still be concerned, because where the fuck is she going to get it from?
Yeah.
I don't think she would know.
Well, I think if she did know, she would want to make sure that she could still get her connection.
Right, like she...
That's why I asked.
Like, if she wants shit, too, she, you know, if Keech isn't selling anymore, she needs to find out where it's coming from.
Right, she needs... And here she is talking to the criminal mastermind of the prison.
That's so true. All right. How about... Hollis... I'll tell the boys that they to start going easy on this little search if you provide me with an answer to one of my questions.
Which is?
I'm interested in the drug trade in the convicts. Who's the big fish?
Why?
Just wondering. I heard the drugs are running rampant here, and I want to know the source.
Okay, here's a clarifying question for you now, Meyer. Since you're playing Fylvia,
yeah.
Is Fylvia's self control enough to keep her from hurting this man? To tell her what she wants to know.
I'm gonna say that's a maybe.
So don't push.
Drugs? I don't know. I mean, there are desperate people around here, but I'm not sure I've heard about rampant drug use.
You run this part. You know where the drugs are. Where are they?
Admitting I know about drugs would be tantamount to admitting to wrongdoing. I'm afraid I don't know what you're talking about, Fylvia. Are we done here yet?
Just answer my question, Hollis.
Look, you know to talk to Keech.
Keech isn't the only person who does the drugs. There must be someone else. Who is it? And where can I find him or her?
Seems pretty important to you.
I want to nip this drug thing in the bud.
Right. You sure you just don't want to nip?
Is that the breaking point?
You think I would partake in drugs?
Just seem awfully, enthusiastic about the topic.
I'm a fucking captain. I have to... This is what I deal with.
I'm can I add details as the guide or just add
details? Yeah, no, add details. That's fine.
Okay, I was going to say, at this point, I would say that Hollis sees the, you know, drug-addled madness in this woman's eyes and is probably a little
nervous.
Yeah. Like, he thought that he had, he thought that he had the upper hand, but...
She's gonna go fucking crazy.
Yes.
Hmm. Well, I might be able to find out something. I don't know anything right now. But I can tell you where I might be able to point you in the direction of someone who might have a small stash.
Give me the name.
Huh. You know him. Who? Clarvis Pill. He's got a little bit.
I was really hoping that you would say that.
He's got a little bit to hold her over while he finds it, because he's not just going to go and sell up.
His lieutenant.
No. So he's like, yeah, I'll find out what I can. In the meantime, you could go talk to Clarvis.
All right. Good. That's a start.
Corporal Glower comes out and says, ma'am, we've searched the entire residence. We haven't found a thing. He's good. Clean.
All right, well, I have another stop to make right now. So get the boys ready. We have another mission to go.
Yes, ma'am. And he is, like, twice as on edge because his superior has been a little bit antsy.
Ah, well, have a lovely day, Fylvia. I suspect I'll see you tomorrow.
Of course you will. Same time, same place. Mm. Men, move out.
And they all start marching away.
Hollis closes the door and starts rearranging things in his house. Or no, better, yeah, no, he doesn't. He, as they walk away, he calls over to one of his boys. Yeah, yeah. Clean this up. I have to go talk to Fortison.
Sure thing, Mr. Varford.
And remember, keep the door closed so the humidity stays down.
I'll do that.
All right. And he walks off across the muddy streets. Mm. All right, so now I ask the question?
Yep.
All right, so Ryan, what does Clarvis do when Captain Fylvia Gunmyth and her eight Marines come marching in file right up to him?
All right. I'm going to say that once again, he is handing out pamphlets in the marketplace, you know, again, just completely off his nut, ranting about capitalism and the system and the man, and he's not a big enough idiot to you know, start making fun of a contingent of eight Marines and their angry captain who march up to him.
I feel like they would come up to him from behind.
Right.
And he would just be spouting about how they have to overthrow the system.
Right. And we're going to bring down the man from the inside.
Someone who's watching him speak, his eyes go wide and just starts to back off.
That means actively resisting, man. I'm talking about getting weapons, Clarvis, man.
Shut up.
I think Philby has her shock baton out and just, as she walks up, just slams you in the back of the head.
Okay, pamphlets go everywhere. Clarvis face plants in the mud and you know, turns around looking addled and scared.
Show me to your shed now.
Yes, ma'am. This way. He leads you through a crowd of people who just, like, you know, part.
Yeah.
Everybody's attention is somewhere else. Everyone's got more important things to do. All of a sudden, Clarvis actually shares the hut with two other people. One of them's out on work detail, and the other one is asleep in his rack, basically. It's there's bunk beds, very, very small area. And Clarvis comes in, the roommate looks up, hey, damn it, Clarvis, I thought I told you, notices the Marines and goes, I gotta go. And just grabs his pillow blanket and walks out into the rain wearing nothing but underwear.
Stay against the wall. Men, search the room. Corporal, search the man.
Yes, ma'am. Corporal starts patting down Clarvis.
Clarvis is still, you know, very dirty and... What did I do, man? I...
Shut up!
Where's the drugs, Clarvis?
This is systematic oppression, man. I don't have to answer.
Listen to me, you little shit. I knew you helped Hollis. What's his name?
Keech
with the drugs, and now he's out.
Back pocket, man. Back pocket.
The guard reaches into his back pocket, pulls out like half an ounce.
Yeah, it's obviously a very small bag, and most of it is used up already.
Yeah,
like it's. Only a couple of doses left.
Found this, ma'am.
Obviously, he's from the size of what he found. Clarvis is holding, but not a dealer or anything significant. Oh,
yeah. That's it. And he just goes, "Hits you."
Do you want me to mark it for evidence, ma'am?
Yes.
This Clarvis is.
Well, if she marks it for evidence, he probably wouldn't be able to use it.
That's true. No, I'll do it myself personally.
Yes, ma'am.
Give it to me, and help the rest of the boys turn his place upside down.
Hands it over and starts. This time they're breaking shit.
Yeah,
no. Not that there's much shit to break.
It's all, you know, pretty much standard issue stuff. You know, cots, mattresses. I'm guessing they're like slicing the pillows and the mattress open. And
I mean, there's probably like electric, you know, lanterns for lamps and things.
One of them probably has the wise ass roommate who thought he was gonna, you know, make off, like handcuffed him and is now slicing his pillow open and
you know, so Clarvis.
What?
I can make your life a living fucking hell.
Please.
Keech is out. Who's the one in now? Who's in charge of the drugs? Tell me. I want to break every fucking bone in your body.
I don't know his name. I don't know his name, but I know that they're always. I see things, you know.
She just hits you. Tell me all the fuck he is.
The cigar shop. The men late at night offloading equipment. I think they're going to build a refinery or a distillery?
I guess it would be a refinery. I imagine it's like a powder.
Okay.
Like sort of like cocaine-ish.
They're building some kind of a chemical refinery in there, man.
And I have a job for you. You go in there and you set up a meeting for me. I want to meet the man who's in charge. Got it?
Whatever you say.
We'll meet. Tell him to meet me by the outer gate at midnight.
Good. All right. Okay.
And if he's not there at midnight, I come back tomorrow. I beat you to a little pulp, and then I tell you the same thing again. If you do it, and it's gonna go over and over. Till you actually got the person to meet me.
All right, whatever you say, whatever you say.
Good. Boys, let's go.
They drop whatever it is that they're holding and just march back, get back into formation and march out. All right. So, Meyer.
Before Meyer goes, and I say normally where, if it had just been a few Marines, Clarvis probably would have called after them, you know, called them pigs or, you know, something like that. He just, like, slides down into the mud, like, like the strength goes out of his legs and he just falls.
Yeah.
And then he starts to weep because he knows that he's totally screwed.
All right. Well, let's. I'm gonna deviate from the story a little bit. Go for another a separate thing.
All right.
And I'm gonna say. Okay. So Hollis. You know, is getting shit from Philvia. And also his wife, I guess. So, what kind of information does he want? Levy to?
Oh yeah, that guy.
Yeah, I forgot
about Levy.
So does this? You know,
that's right.
What kind of information does maybe he want to? You know, what does he incite a man to do? I guess.
Right.
All right, so do you want to... We could set up a scene where Levy and the Dimmer Dammer can meet again? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I guess during the day, like, I guess the people from the inner city, you know, inner part would be able to go to the... I mean,
right.
If Keech can...
Yeah, it's probably like, you know, people, you know, probably don't like to, but...
Yeah, they could.
Yeah.
What if you wanted to go to the cigar shop? You know?
It's kind of like going to a bad neighborhood.
Right.
You know, people really don't want to do that, but some people...
But Levy is, you know, from there.
Yeah.
So, Levy comes out. There are a couple of other emancipists who are, you know, bringing food or things that they've bought.
Yeah.
To their relatives who are still...
I would imagine Levy has to, like, go to someone and say he wants to talk to the Dimmer Dammer. Or maybe, you know, most days the Dimmer, he's like a public square.
Out and around.
And, you know, he has like a table in the square area under a tarp.
I kind of imagine him, there's a little cafe that he always sits at. He's got an espresso. And he's always got his umbrella and he's reading. And there are a couple of big, burly guys sort of standing around you, and they screen people.
Right. Yeah, so it's... Ah, Levy!
And they let you through.
I gesture to the waitress or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
One for Levy.
Mr. Varford.
Ah, please call me Hollis. So, what brings you to this side of town, Mr. Freeman?
I have some friends here and there, you know, just saying hi. I mean, I have more friends, you know, sad thing, I'm a free man, but I have more friends in here than out there.
Yeah, I could imagine.
Plus, people don't, like, take really kindly to, you know, ex-convicts. No,
you do your time, but they still think of you as a prisoner.
Yeah.
So, what can I do for you?
Oh, well, you know, you I guess I'm here to ask you what you need from me.
Ah, that's right. My eyes and ears. So, how are things on the inside? People eating? Any unrest?
I'm gonna say that there is a... you know what would be really, really kind of cool? If the point of this meeting is so that you can be seen talking to him.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that Lardra will want to know why.
So I'm just using him.
Yeah.
To fuck with my ex-wife.
Yeah.
So I don't give a shit about him at all.
Yeah. No. Not at all.
Okay. Yeah.
there's a closed circuit TV camera mounted, of course, because it's someplace that you go all the time.
She, and I know it's there. Yeah.
She watches you.
Yeah. Okay.
So you can see the camera, you know, swivel over to him.
So, how are things on the inside? How's that roof?
You know, it's very nice not having a metal tin. It's nice and peaceful.
I could imagine.
Yes, I've been trying to, you know, put my ear to the ground, try to hear stuff, but, you know, I guess I really don't know exactly what want me to hear.
I just need you to keep your fingers on the pulse, so to speak.
I love the vague bullshit that you're
you know, yeah, well, because we need to know, you obviously know how it is on the outside.
Barely, but...
No, I mean on the outside.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we need every advantage we can get.
Yeah.
If there's any way that I can, you know, if there's anything I can use to help get the people out here more food or supplies or anything like that, I'll take it. So if you hear any rumors or anything that we could use to get the people more freedoms out here,
yeah,
I need to know about it. That's what I'm asking for.
All right.
The waitress comes and sets an espresso down in front of...
Oh, thanks, Holly. You ever had espresso?
No, I can't say I have.
Oh, be careful. It's a kick in the ass. So, maybe you should try, maybe proselytizing a little bit.
Proselytizing?
Yeah.
I don't know any of those big words.
me and my books. I mean, spreading the good word. You know, you're an emancipated man now.
You need to preach freedom and the plight of the convicts?
Exactly. You know, people on the inside, they got that big wall. They can't see us. They don't want to see us.
All right.
They have that roof over their heads. They don't have to worry about the rain. Well, you and me, look at us. Look at the mud on our boots.
Yeah. I think I can, I can do that.
You know, spread the word. Let people know what's going on out here. How bad it is. Maybe, you know, then they'll spread the wealth a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
All right. I think I will do that.
Yeah. And then just, you know... Like I said, keep your ear to the ground and your fingers on the pulse.
All right.
Let me know what's going on. Come out here every once in a while. There's always a seat at my table for you.
Thank you, kind of, Mr. Varford.
Aye, what did I say?
I'm sorry, it's just weird to call you Hollis.
It's all right. Well, Mr. Stakem, it's been a pleasure as always.
You need shake his hand?
Yeah. You need anything, you just come let me know.
You can practically see the eyes bug out of the camera as you shake his hand. Because she can't hear what the hell's going on.
Oh, actually, you know, if I'm trying to piss her off, I'm probably leaning in really close that whole time when I'm talking to him. Like it's some big conspiracy thing.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you know, then when he gets up, I shake his hand.
You cover your mouth so that she can't read your lips. just to get her incensed about something. Wow, this is great.
Okay, Ryan.
All right. Meyer, does that answer your question?
Yeah.
He has no concern for you whatsoever.
Not really much of a man of the people. He definitely is the governor from
He's just using you as a pawn.
He is the governor.
He's kind of a man of the people.
He plays at being a man of the people.
That's a governor. Yeah.
But he's a hard ass.
All right.
He really just wants to get... I have a feeling this whole thing is he just wants to get back at his ex-wife.
Of course.
Yeah.
You know, she's being...
A bitch.
overbearing, controlling... presence in his life. The whole reason that he's in this hellhole is because of her.
Of her.
Alright. Let's see. I kind of want to know now, you know, how does, even though it involves me, how does, Laudra Varford react. all right, so I'm gonna say once again, since she's a very hands-off governor, she's got Mard and Filvia in her office, and her whole desk is covered in. Levy Stakem's, you know, personal history and file, psychological report, you know. Oh, Mard, Filvia, how... How nice. Thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedules to come and meet with me.
Of course, ma'am.
You both received, out of character, you both received just, like, urgent communications. Like, right. Drop whatever the fuck it is you're doing.
This wasn't take time, see me when you can. This was get over here
this
now.
This is get your asses in my office immediately.
What's, seems the, so important?
Well, something's come up. I was wondering if you had ever seen this man before. And she, passes you a picture of Levi Stakem.
I think he's one of the free convicts.
Yes, I remember processing his paperwork, his emancipation paperwork, a few weeks ago.
He isn't really causing me much trouble.
I see here he's been a model prisoner, and he's served his sentence.
Yes, ma'am. Guards all had, well, not nice things to say about him, but not bad things to say. He served his sentence, was a model prisoner, did his time, did the work, no complaints. I wish we had more like him, to be honest.
I think that maybe Mr. Stakem is more than he appears.
What do you mean, ma'am?
Watch this, and she brings up footage of the meeting with Hollis, and she basically just now. Let's not pretend that my husband isn't a special member of the criminal population here. I'm wondering, what is it that this man is doing meeting with my husband?
Could be many things, I guess, they can be talking about.
Stakem man was a prisoner for quite a while. It's possible that he was friends with your husband. It's not uncommon for many emancipists to go back to the Outer Ring to visit friends?
No. You misunderstand me. Look, you see those four gentlemen standing around my husband's table? They keep people away unless they have very important business with him. That's why he goes there, to discuss his business. This man has business with my husband, and I would like you two to make it a priority to find out what that business is.
Ma'am, with all due respect, Levi Stakem really does not seem the type to be getting up to trouble. I mean, all the profiles indicate that he will go on to live a quiet life and stay under the radar and just do what he can to get by.
Now, Mart, I know that you're big on your research and your statistics and your psychological projections, but sometimes I have an intuition about things, and my intuitions more often than not are right on the money. So if you would be a dear, please find out what this man is doing meeting with my husband.
I will, I'm currently following a lead on the booming drug trade with the convicts, but I will loan him some of my men as backup.
Yes, ma'am. I will do everything I can.
Thank you, Mart. I know I can always count on you.
Yes.
And thank you, Fylvia. We work very well together.
Ma'am.
As Fylvia and Mart turn around, Mart gives her a glance out of the corner of his eye, like, what the fuck?
Mint? So, Laudra is now paranoid and overbearing still.
Yeah.
And sort of obsessive, because... It does kind of make sense, though, because, what would some no-name emancipist be doing talking?
Yeah.
Obviously, she may not be aware of the full extent of his influences, the Dimmerdammer, but she knows that he's, someone...
up there.
Yeah, in the community.
Yeah.
So, and besides, he's her husband, and she likes to keep an eye out for him.
All right. Well, then, I guess my question will be, for Meyer, what does Levy Stankum do when... Levy Stankum do when Mard Smickley shows up with a squadron of Marines? I guess while he's giving, you know, talking to some people about freedoms.
All right. So I guess, yeah, as you said, he's probably at the bar, maybe a bar, and he's talking to some people about...
I was going to say, if you want to pick a location, how about, like, he's addressing a luncheon?
Okay.
You know, since he was a model prisoner,
yeah.
There's you know, a meeting of the Rotary Club or, you know, some kind of community organization that's giving a luncheon, and they have, you know, you as the featured speaker
and
talk about your experience and...
My experience in the...
And how it helped you turn your life around.
Right.
And also how, you know, the conditions and...
Yeah.
So there are a bunch of upstanding members of the community present, and you know, they're all, it's very nice.
So I'm probably like at the, it's over, and I'm like, you know, talking, some people leaving, some people came up to talk to me.
And then Mard Snickley, and then all of a sudden the doors burst open, and 8 Marines walking double file march in, followed by Mard Smickley.
This is unprecedented. This is uncalled for. There's a big you know, hubbub going through the crowd, and people are harumphing. And
please, I just need a moment. Mr. Stankum, is Mr. Stankum here?
That's me. Is there some sort of trouble,
Mr. Stankum? If you could please come with us.
As soon as you say that you're Levy Stankum, Levy Stankum, 2 Marines flank you, you know, and bring out their shock batons.
Am I in trouble?
No, trouble, sir. I just need to ask you a few questions. If you could come with us, please.
All right. I have nothing to hide, so.
So I guess we'll bring him back to, you know, police station. Into an interrogation room.
Yeah,
you don't really need a whole patrol of people to get me to come here.
They're on loan from the captain of the guard. Mm. Now,
pretty kindly of her,
Mr. Stankum. It has come to our attention that you have become an associate of prisoner AAA-001, also known as Hollis Varford.
I've. My time as a cop, you know, I've known the man. He's pretty much the leader of all the convicts. And
what is your business with him?
To be honest, it's what you saw me doing. I kind of just want to as a convict with my time I served I seen the plight of all the convicts, and I just want to see better conditions for them. And
Mr. Stankum, let me stop you there. the governor has tasked me with finding out what your relationship is with her former husband. and as much as I may be a bookish man and a man of the law,
that you're a girl.
You know, Philby is the girl,
Martis,
he's...
As much as I may be a man of books, there is a reason that these Marines were dispatched to me. And if you do not answer me truthfully, I'm afraid I shall have to turn the interrogation over to them.
Because fucking of course they don't believe you.
I'm telling you,
His thing is, I will never place my own safety over the people's freedom.
Listen,
I'm thinking this is an oath breaker.
Meyer, at this point, one of the Marines walks in.
Four of the Marines walk in.
Four of the Marines. Well, what I was going to say is, one of the Marines walks in with a silver suitcase that he opens up on the table before you. It just, you know, flops over. And inside the suitcase, you can see a set of polished metal tools.
Most of which you can't name.
Yes. They look like very specialized tools designed to stimulate pain in parts of the body.
Now, Corporal Glower here tells me he takes very good care of his equipment and is meticulous in its use.
That's right, sir, I do.
Yes, so please, for all of our sakes, Mr. Stakem, what is your involvement with Mr. Varford?
He has asked me to be the voice of the free men or the free convicts and talk about the plight of those people. And that's the God-honest truth. And if you don't trust me, well, there's nothing I can do to
Mr. Stakem, this pains me, and I'm very sorry that I have to do this, but unfortunately, that just does not seem logical.
So, what, you're gonna torture me? Is that what's gonna happen?
No, I am going to leave you in the hands of Corporal Glower.
And he's gonna...
I'm gonna torture you.
For what?
The, Marge Smickley just stands up, lifts up, pushes in his chair. Then two other Marines walk in with ropes and everything to tie you down.
You know, I think that's the point when he goes, you know, fuck it, and he's gonna pick, he's gonna try, he's just gonna fight them. He's like, fuck it, if I'm a free man.
Well, I mean, eventually you're gonna have to break your oath. That's the whole point of the game.
Yeah.
Well, if he's... I will never place my safety over the freedom of the people. I would say, you know, if you...
If he starts saying, you know, he wanted me to spy and keep an eye out.
Yeah, if you start babbling and begging, you know, because there are, you know, four guys coming in.
Listen.
You have something to say?
Okay, maybe it's the God of this truth. He told me to be the voice people, but maybe there was some extra things he told me to do, maybe?
Such as?
He told me to keep an ear on the ground, maybe hear any rumors that might be helpful for him.
So you're a spy.
What information have you passed to Mr. Varford so far?
He has just tasked me with this, and I have gotten nothing. Nothing.
In that case, I believe you might be able to be of use to us, Mr. Stakem.
You mean like a double spy?
Something like that. Corporal, I think you could put those away.
Glower looks disappointed.
Glower glowers.
Mm-hmm. I think that adds insult to injury too, because now he's not only told them everything he knows, but he's got to actively work against his people.
Yeah,
his own.
That was definitely an oath breaking.
So yeah, he broke his oath. So Meyer,
yes.
Do you want to change somebody's position on the ladder? Do you want to?
You could change the survey.
Yeah, you can change the survey, or you can change the drive.
Survey.
That's the planetary thing.
One of those things becomes...
Different.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be, like, on a different planet. It would just be...
There's some change or...
Yeah. You know, we've completely forgotten about most of the stuff that has to do with the planet.
Yeah.
Food rations.
We have a good story going.
Populations. Yeah, no, we do have a good story going, though.
We've brought the food rationing into it. Like,
yeah.
They use it as a reward and punishment system for the convicts.
That's true.
If I change something, does that mean, like, another thing? Like, two genes have to change, or one thing changes?
No, it would just be one thing. So, you know, you would change from, you know, climate, you say climate is mild. Well, that's true now. So maybe, you know, the rain actually stops.
Mm.
Or, you know, atmosphere is excellent. You know, some weird fog comes in or something. And it's not excellent anymore. Like, we would decide what that means.
I think I might want to... Maybe I'll... I'm thinking maybe the geology starts unstable.
So now we have earthquakes on top of everything else.
Some terrible.
Or it could be that the ground is just so saturated.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Like it's now sinkholes are now forming. Yeah.
Okay, that's there's terrifying.
Muddy sinkholes.
That's awful. But yeah, it makes sense. Okay,
so that's what I'm thinking. Now that there are muddy sinkholes.
All right, so okay. Geology is no longer stable.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, this is a wonderful place.
Yeah.
All right, so
I gotta go to the bath facilities.
So yes. Whose question was that? That was
I think yours. That was my question.
All right, so Meyer's up after he gets back from the bathroom.
Yes. I think the next scene is then the Dimmer Dammer and the Abbot.
Yeah, probably.
I do like this story. It's a good one.
I do like how the thematically, it keeps shifting between, you know, what you're willing to give up for your own personal safety and drugs. Drug abuse and corruption.
All kind of tied together, too.
Yeah. And I love the character of Laudra.
Yeah. Go see what their involvement is.
She's terrible.
Someone I posted on Twitter, if I was a 90s beach tycoon, I'd probably invest in an extreme sunscreen called Sunscream and promptly lose my fortune.
Oh, dear. I also like Meyer's character, the Abbot.
Yeah. I kind of like the Dimmer Dammer in this one, too.
Oh, yeah. We got a lot of good characters.
Yeah, they're all good, actually.
Meyer's violent, drug-addled vice lord who speaks in the third person.
Oh, man. Zach Bagans, Jesus. He posted on Twitter 44 minutes ago, just, are you serious, bro? That's it.
I didn't think anybody actually, like, legitimately used the word bro in conversation.
Are you surprised Zach Bagans does?
No, not at all.
Zach Bagans. He's a New York Times best-selling author.
He wrote a book?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, I actually get this Patton Oswalt tweet. I try every day to be Stu Redmond, but sometimes I'm just Harold Lauder. I get that because I'm reading The Stand right now. And Harold's a creepy jerk.
So I was thinking,
Meyer was thinking.
Environment, how the geology is unstable. What it could also mean is, you know, our whole place about safety, and now so maybe it's some of the walls gets now is destroyed.
And the exterior fence.
Yeah, so now maybe the terrible stuff that's we're trying to get.
The animals and stuff are starting to leak in.
Yeah.
All right.
Or maybe like you know also the wall maybe so maybe convicts can also
like cracks in the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, well, it's your question.
Okay.
So who are you going to ask, and what are you going to ask?
Was it right?
No, it's yours.
It's yours.
Okay. So...
I mean, we figure the next big scene is the Dimmer Dammer and the Abbot. Because he has to find out about the drugs.
Okay. So I guess... what was the question? He wants.
How does the Dimmer Dammer take it when the Abbot tells him, or is the Abbot honest with the Dimmer Dammer when he asks, "What happened to Keech?"
maybe what's the relationship like between the abbot and the Dimmerdammer?
All right, yeah, sure.
All right, yeah. So I figured the abbot walks into the cigar shop upstairs, stamps himself off, shakes out his umbrella as he's the man behind the counter.
The clerk actually, you know, when Keech came in, it was just a polite wave.
Yeah.
When the Dimmerdammer comes in, he knows your favorite cigar, he brings it to you, and he lights it for you.
Thank you.
Do you bring the Captain Sharp as protection?
No, I don't think I need protection from you.
Okay. I'm just wondering.
We're establishing a relationship.
If it's going to be like a meeting,
yeah.
I would probably bring Captain Sharp. Yeah. I'll bring Prude with me.
Prude Wrigham.
And we'll head downstairs.
I picture, as the captain was, like, big until, like, Brienne, I picture her as more like Michonne, like, she's, you know, but this deadly.
Wiry and...
Yeah.
I kind of picture, since her name is Prude, as kind of a contrast, she's like a punk chick. Piercings and...
I could see that.
She's wearing a dog collar. And...
She has a katana.
Yeah. I don't think she's walking around with any, like... Mm. I mean, it's still a penal colony. They wouldn't allow the prisoners to walk around with, like, weapons.
She has some hidden blades.
Yes. Yes, that I would... Yes.
So she's got, like, knives strapped to her and...
Yeah.
Okay.
Homemade knives.
Yeah. Shivs and...
Yeah. Like, pieces of sharpened metal with stuff wrapped around the handle.
Mm-hmm.
So the Dimmerdammer walks downstairs, and as he walks through the beaded curtain... People like step out of the way.
Who's my guy's name?
Fortson.
Fortison Giambe's home.
Fortison?
Dimmerdammer. Who's that? Captain Sharp?
Yeah.
Captain Sharp?
Fortison?
We should talk.
Yeah. Everyone out of the room.
I was going to say we should go to the office, but no. People will clear the room.
Yep.
I feel like we don't have to tell them to clear the room. When the Dimmerdammer says,
right.
We should talk,
yeah.
Everyone Everybody leaves.
Just, yeah, they pack up their dice and their cards and they just walk out. The place empties in under a minute.
You want something to drink?
I'll get it. Dimmerdammer walks over to the bar, uncorks a bottle, probably an unlabeled bottle of something, pours it into a glass. Anyone else?
No, thank
you. I have plenty.
I like to remain sharp.
Do you want to...
As is my time.
Anything else to...
The Dimmerdammer giggles, chuckles a little bit, pours himself a drink.
Prude paces... Sort of anxiously glancing around the room, the exits.
It's like a cat in a cage.
Yeah. She is constantly sizing up everyone and everything.
The Dimmerdammer sits down in the same chair that Keech was sitting in. So, I hear Keech hasn't been around.
Keech is out. I'm in.
Keech is out and you're in?
Well, you know, we had a partnership, and I kicked him out.
Fortison, why wouldn't you run this by me first?
Why does Fortison Guillaume have to run anything by you, Dimmerdammer?
The Dimmerdammer quickly throws his drink at Fortison's face, stands up, grabs the knife from the back of his pants, and slams it down a half inch from his penis between Fortison's legs. Because I run this fucking town, you dumb son of a bitch.
He takes a knife out and just hands it back to you. Listen. You run the people. I run the drugs. I run the sex. I run the gambling.
And you better run everything by him. Otherwise, he'll cut your balls off.
I didn't think something like this was needs anyone by you. I mean, Keech was a lowlife anyway.
I don't care about Keech.
Then why are you here?
Because you made this move without talking to me. There was a reason we had Keech. He was in the inner circle.
We can get other people in the inner circle.
No one in the inner circle is as dirty as Keech. He was easy.
Some of my sources have been saying you're talking to some free convict guy. Why does he be on our inside man?
Levy? No. He's a fucking idiot. He's a patsy. Just yeah. Using him to piss off the governor. He couldn't sell shit.
Well, I'm not saying sell, I mean... But he can do stuff Keech can't do. I mean, no one really knows him.
He's got eyes on him. That's why I picked him.
Well,
you can't use an ex-con to sell things on the inside. That's what I keep trying to tell you, but you just don't get.
We don't need Keech.
We need someone. So what's your big fucking idea? Do you know how many people on the inside were hooked on Keech's shit?
Yes, I do. And I... So I... How about we... I know the inside man we can get then.
Who?
Fortison. You gave Fortison an idea.
What's your great idea?
Who's a better inside man, or woman, I should say, than the old captain of the Marines? She's into the drugs.
Yeah. Yeah, she is. But you know what she's going to do? She's not going to sell for you. She's going to put a bullet in your fucking head and take it from you.
She wouldn't. I'd like to see her try.
Oh, I have a feeling you will. I'm going to roll these uncertainty dice. Because I feel like there's a little uncertainty in this scene.
Yeah, no. For sure.
I feel like... Five.
So something big happens, doesn't it?
Well, no. The two is an event. Next time.
So what do we got? Two fours?
Yeah.
Tied fours. It is an epic event.
No, it's just two fours.
It's just two fours. Alright, in that case, 4-4, what's the other one? Two?
Two, yeah.
Starvation leads to poor decision-making.
Mm-hmm. Alright, so that can very easily come up next time.
So wait, it's between drive, what's that mean?
Well, no, so it's between indulgence and servility.
So, my guess would be either... You completely cave because, you know your place.
Mm-hmm.
Or I guess the indulgence would be the drugs. You give in to the drugs and do something completely crazy.
Mm.
Which might break your oath.
You will never give...
Abandon what I've built here.
Well, I have a feeling... I mean, the way I see... I don't know how this scene in particular is going to end, but I feel like the next scene is going to be the captain meeting with Fortison.
Probably.
And she's going to fucking put him in his place. I mean, that's my feel. Like, she's not going to sell drugs for him on
right.
the inside.
Yeah, no, not at all. But she's gonna tell him... That either he sells her drugs, or she's going to kill him and find somebody who will.
Yeah. Which I told to Fortison, so I'm going to... You think you can do this, Fortison?
What? What did I say?
What? You said you were going to get the captain of the Marines to sell drugs for you in the inner circle.
I said that.
You've been dipping into your shit too much again, Fortison.
Yep. It's the way to live. We have a shitty life. That's how I deal with it.
Yes, you seem to deal quite a lot. So what are we going to do about the drug trade that you fucked up?
I'll handle it.
So, I should tell Captain's gunmith to come speak to you, then.
Sure. I'll talk to the bitch.
Prude chuckles, because she knows how Captain Gunmith is.
Well, good luck with that, Fortison. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to... I threw my drink at him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to grab his drink, take a sip, put it back in front of him, stand up, and leave. And then I guess we'll fast forward a little bit to... We're supposed to meet with the captain again. Or is that going to be a different scene?
Yeah,
all right, yeah.
We'll make it a different scene.
Yeah, so that's... Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah, I'll ask that question then. What happens to Fortison? Fortison, rather. When Fylvia Gunmith comes and, you know, obviously... the way I picture it going is you walk out of the cigar shop, you know, and open your umbrella and just casually stroll up to a Marine.
Yes.
You know, it could be anybody. And you just say, you know, listen, I have a message for you, Captain.
No, I'll just go up to the Marine and say, tell Gunmith she can deal with Fortison Giambe.
But so Fortison, knowing that the captain of the Marines is coming, he's gonna have hidden some of his men hidden around there. So if anything shit goes down, they can jump on her.
Now does Fortison have the wherewithal, considering how high he is?
Yeah, I think his natural state is drunk. So I think he's gotten this far for a reason. He's not that stupid.
All right.
You're totally what's his face from Boardwalk Empire now. the crazy guy? Kind of.
What crazy guy from Boardwalk?
The one who scared the shit out of everyone because you never knew what he was going to do.
Oh, okay. I guess a little bit.
I can't remember his name now.
Something with a G, wasn't it?
It was like a three-letter name.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
All right, keep going. I need to go there.
What I'm going to say is... Do you want to be?
I'll be Gunmith? Sure. Okay. Unless you want to.
No, I'm supposed to be the guide for this scene.
Right. Okay.
So.
Well, Gunmith does not go into the outer circle alone. She has a squad of Marines with her, and some of them go in with her.
She knows that the meeting place is in the cigar shop.
Yeah, well, I mean, told her that's who he was going to have to deal with. Jip Rossetti.
Jip Rossetti, yeah.
That was a Jip. I mean, I figure she know. I mean, Fortison is still, you know, a big player. I would assume she knows where
right.
he hangs out.
All right. So I'll ask a clarifying question. Do the Marines do anything to the cigar shop as they pass through it, or... Just to make a point, or do they just walk through?
Not right now. Okay. Maybe on the way out.
All right.
I would say she has 4 standing guard outside, and 4 come in with her.
And they all have assault rifles?
Yes. And she has her sidearm, mm-hmm. you know, holster unbuttoned, unfastened, ready to mm-hmm. go.
And, Meyer, what weapons do your people have?
They probably just have melee. They don't have probably guns.
Yeah, no. Okay, so there's... Meyer, I'm guessing that this is not going the way you want it to. Cause
but I bet you, I think there's, somehow we got one,
maybe you have one gun?
Like one gun, and I'm hiding it, like, you know.
Yeah, okay, that's like yours.
You've got it.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll ask a clarifying question then. How do the rest of the men react to seeing this armed contingent of Marines? Like, are they going to come out and try to help you out, or do you think they're going to... Chicken out.
They're my men. I know that
they're loyal.
They're loyal.
You pick loyal people. All right. So
I would imagine most of the patrons in the place they start leave, scattering.
Yeah. But yeah. my men, they know if they abandon their posts, I kill them. So they all, it's loyal men.
Alright.
So, Gunmith comes in, flanked with two Marines on each side of her.
Hey, ma'am.
Mr. Giambe.
Captain, how's it going?
I've been told that you are in charge of the drug trade around here.
You know me, I can't, say I can. I mean, unless this is, you know, behind closed doors.
Sure.
So, what, you want to be a client of mine?
No. I want your stash. Well, actually, no, she does it. I give you money, you give me what I need. It's simple.
And your men know about this?
They know to keep quiet about certain things.
Oh. So, what's the deal then?
I would give Keech, $75.
I'm not Keech, though. He's out. So, I guess things will change. So, I'm thinking... See, Keech had a... had one thing over me that I didn't. And that was a source to deal inside the walls. And now I need a source to keep running inside the walls.
You want me to sell your drugs inside the wall?
If you can help, yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, how about if you help me out, I help you out. So you help me, I give you whatever you want for your charge.
How about this? Instead of me being your drug mule, you give me what I want, or I will kill you.
At that moment, all eight of the Marines cock their automatic rifles and point them directly at your head.
Some of my men have very itchy trigger fingers.
Mm. Corporal.
Corporal Glower's there?
I guess.
Okay. I'll figure he's always there.
Probably. So, in that case, Glower says, I'd take the lady's deal, Fortison.
So, at 75, you say? I can do that. So...
I think the deal's changed. As I said, give me what I want, or you die.
Your equipment, jackass.
You want me... You want my... Then how am I supposed to deal?
That's your problem, fuckhead.
I don't think I can do that. But...
Oh, by the way, before we go on, what's the signal for your guys to jump out and...
Well, I imagine, are they hide? I mean, they'd have to still be around somewhere.
They'd probably be...
They're probably around, I guess.
Gunmith sighs, just pulls out her gun, and just shoots one of your men.
That's when I...
And then points the gun right at you. This is no longer a negotiation, Mr. Giambe.
No, it's not. It's a fight. And you start shooting fires.
All right. Glower and her men open fire. I don't even think we have to really discuss who wins.
Yeah, I think it'd be a fucking bloodbath.
Yeah.
Honestly. Maybe one of the Marines gets injured and goes down, but...
I wouldn't even think go down. I mean, if they just have clubs and maybe knives, the Marines would be wearing body armor.
Yeah.
I have a gun. I shoot some people.
Yeah, you okay? You shoot one of the you injure one of the Marines.
I think I go for I went right for.
Oh, do you want to? Do you want to? Do you think they take each other out?
Oh no way! She was expecting it. I mean, if she is that she is on edge to begin with.
Well, the other thing you got to remember too,
you don't know how a gun.
She's not sharp because if she's a drug addict and she hasn't gotten her fix in a couple of days.
That's true, but he's also a drug addict and he's high as fuck.
That's true.
I feel like if it comes down to the two of them, the Marine is going to maybe he shoots her.
But
I don't think he
it's
kills
not
her.
A fatal wound.
No,
I want to take her eye out.
Okay, you like get like you, and then she plants one right between yours.
Yeah. All right, so you're dead.
Yep. It's all right. That's a good way to go.
Yeah, that's yeah. Okay.
I think that's a pretty badass one.
Fortis and Giambe.
Fortis and Giambe. Dead man.
So wait, now I turn to someone else, right?
Yeah.
You pick one of the other characters for
I kind
of
like Philvia. I've been playing her a lot.
You want to be Philvia?
Yeah.
Okay,
Philvia.
Yeah.
All right, and...
So I roll up a new oath for Philvia, then.
All right, well, too bad, Fortison.
It's all right. It's cool.
Let's see.
Oh,
oath
wow.
List.
This is...
Yeah, it's going to roll along. 6-5 or 5-6?
4.
Oh, 4. 6-4. 4-6. I love this one for Sylvia.
What?
Sylvia, rather. I will never tolerate incompetence.
Yeah.
Because she just fucked up a drug dealer for completely overplaying his crappy hand.
Oh, and don't forget, starvation leads to poor decisions.
Yeah. Ooh, how about this? We could interpret that a little bit. What if instead
she was starved for drugs?
Yeah, starved for drugs.
So a shootout is a poor decision.
And also, what the fuck was she doing with a contingent of Marines?
Yeah. And she's injured.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing that, the meeting was arranged for late at night when there wouldn't usually be.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's my turn now?
Yeah.
All right, so then, Ryan, how does Laudra react, when she finds out that the captain of her Marines was involved in a shootout in an underground club in the Outer Ring after hours?
And I have to H. All right. I'm guessing that if you got your eyes shot out, you're probably in a
hospital.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know how you would feel about, but you've been waiting for the moment when Laudra is going to show up. You're bandaged. You're probably, hooked up to a blood transfusion, heart monitor, things like that, and very weak. And Laudra shows up, and she is very, very smartly dressed, navy shin length skirt. Nice blouse, maybe a brooch pin.
Mm-hmm.
I picture her as having very curly hair and big earrings. She's carrying a care package, a get well basket.
That's nice.
And she sets it down. She sets it down next to you, and she says, "Oh, Philvia, I came as soon as I heard." As soon as the doctors would let me in.
Ma'am.
How are you feeling?
I'll be back on my feet in a couple days.
That's good to hear. I'm...
I lost an eye.
I was so thankful that you weren't more seriously injured.
Yeah. The fucker had a... Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse my language. the convict somehow got himself a firearm.
I know, that's a terrible, terrible transgression. I'm glad that justice was served. Mm. Without any kind of media circus. Lags like that, they don't even deserve a chance.
I feel like you deserve an explanation for why I was down there.
I was curious about that, yes.
As I told you, I was looking into the rampant use of the drug problem that was happening, and Lee told me that he was showed to me to Mr. to convict DMH 286, also known as Mr. Fortison Giambe, and I found he was actually the drug lord of the convicts.
The drug lord of convicts.
Among other things.
Well, I do understand that you were overseeing the operation, Fylvia, but what were you doing in the room? We have very clear standard operating procedures, and that building should have been swept by the Marines before you even set foot inside.
That is a true... It was an oversight on my...
What's her motivation?
I will never give up the competence.
I will never tolerate incompetence.
Right.
This is basically what's sticking in Laudra's craw is that, there was the sting operation, but what were you doing in the middle of the sting operation?
Right.
Well, I guess here's the thing. If she tries to cover for herself, she would be breaking her own oath.
Yeah, no.
She would be tolerating her own incompetence.
And if she gives it up, she would still be breaking her own oath because she's incompetent now and she can't
right.
carry
she
on her job.
She shouldn't be... She shouldn't be,
Well, ma'am, because I also heard maybe rumors that he was dealing with your husband.
Oh, you're gonna go that way?
Oh. Yep.
Really? Is that so?
I heard they had a meeting earlier that day.
We need one more character to break their oath.
And what dealings would she have had... Would this Mr. Giambe have had with Hollis?
I have no idea, and that's the reason I was there, to ask him personally.
Oh. And instantly, all of her doubts just... go away. Excellent work there, Fylvia. I think you deserve a commendation for your dedication to the cause
and bravery.
And your bravery. I appreciate your enthusiasm.
Thank you, ma'am.
This certainly calls for further investigation.
Mm. Well, as soon as I'm on my feet, I will happily help out. But I guess. Corporal Glauer will lead as I'm incapacitated.
Very well, I'll speak to the corporal. Well, you concentrate on getting better, Fylvia. I have some research to do.
I will.
All right. I would say she broke her own oath
by covering for herself.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Sure.
All right.
And then, I guess, so we'll make Glauer the new
Captain
of Marines.
I guess. Is that really... Well, it's that she won't tolerate her incompetence, though.
Well, she's... that. If she's covering for herself, then she's making an excuse for her own... You know, because she definitely fucked up.
Man. Yeah.
So she's tolerating her own incompetence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
I mean... You know, if she had wanted to follow SOP and make sure, she could have sent the Marines in there and just gunned the place down and then taken whatever she wanted. But she got cocky and, you know,
But then she also came up with that good excuse.
Oh, well, she completely, you know, she covered for herself. Yeah. Like, she's off the hook now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she's...
Yeah, she...
She has her doubts about herself now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she's she tolerated her own incompetence.
Yeah. All right. So now she's out.
So now, yeah, my guess is probably not even for a few days. Like,
yeah.
She, you know, you stay and get well, and Corporal Glower is now the...
Yeah, the captain of the Marines. Or temporary.
Yep.
All right, so it's Meyer's question.
Mm-hmm.
We still haven't gotten to those sinkholes.
Yeah, well, this is... I mean, that was our fourth... Because it's when four people are... Broke right. their oaths, dead or insane.
Three of them were me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's okay. I mean, that's the goal of the game.
Yeah.
It's just storytelling, so...
Mm-hmm. All right.
I mean, Clarvis's was going to be pretty hard to break his oath.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't really an oath. It was pretty much just a fact.
I will never see the good. Well, what I was thinking could have been an interesting way to break Clarvis's oath was if the Marines actually protected him.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You know, like, thank God the Marines are here.
Right, yeah.
What am I saying, man? The Marines are, you know.
Alright, I have two questions, but I guess I'm trying to think of what's the better one.
Well, I mean, we have to start wrapping up the story now.
Yeah, it's heading towards the end.
So then, we'll see, both of them kind of... Okay, so what's... So, I'm guessing this... alright, so... who am I going to ask this? So... Lordra knows that her husband is dealing with this, you know, drug guy, and also it's possible she also knows from the judge advocate that her husband also has been spying on him. So I guess my question is, how is she going to react to now both that these both are happening?
How does she react to that information?
Yeah. Mm. That now her husband is not only is dealing with, you know, drugs and stuff and now, but also is now actively spies against her.
I'm going to say I'm thinking that we could either go with vulnerable or strong, and I'm thinking that Laudra is going to go with strong. She wants to do this, so I was thinking either she would just show up at your house by herself, unannounced,
right?
You know, to speak to you because she's genuinely concerned about you. Yeah, you know what? Fine. She's genuinely concerned about you, and she's not just
Okay.
She's not just interested in keeping you in her personal trap. She still loves you.
The feeling is not mutual.
Well, so here's you're in your hut. You know, late one night, I'm guessing you probably have a book, maybe some brandy or whatever passes for booze in this horrible colony. The rain is teeming down as usual.
Bookmark. Close the book, put it on a little shelf. Take my cup, walk over to the door and open it. What?
You see, you know, standing outside your shack, her hair and her, you know, her perfect hair and her nice new clothes are completely soaked. She's actually wearing one of Keech's ponchos. You know, she comes in and She, you know what? She wouldn't even just walk in. She would say, "Well, aren't you going to invite me in?"
Yeah, come on in. He steps out of the doorway and lets her in.
Thank you.
Do you not have any idea what would happen if anyone else saw you walking around here at night?
I don't know, Hollis. You know, the only reason I brought you here was because I wanted to make sure you stayed out of trouble. One thing about you, you always seem to find yourself in a great deal of it.
He starts laughing. Stay out of trouble. You brought me to this wet shithole to keep me out of trouble? That classic Laudra. Just never knew when to back the fuck off.
I'm concerned about you, Hollis.
Concerned? I'm fine.
I've been hearing things. What's his name? Marg tells me that you've been sending spies into the inner wall, and Fylvia tells me that you're dealing with drug lords.
Is that all Fylvia told you?
Why, is there more?
Oh, Laudra, poor naive Laudra. You sit up there in your high tower, watching over all of us with your security cameras, always following me around, but you never really see what's happening. What was her name? Fylvia. Fylvia was the one dealing with drug lords. But you probably know that. She got shot in the face a few hours ago. You know why? She was looking to score. Yeah, captain of your Marines. Drug addict. Most of the people here are, because it sucks. But you brought me here. I could have been in a nice, dry cell on Mars, but no. I got to go to the ass of the universe because Laudra wanted to make sure I stayed out of trouble. Well, thanks. I'm living in the devil's sphincter because of you. He sits down and finishes his drink.
She looks completely wrecked and she goes, "I have no idea why I came here."
Me either.
Well, Hollis, you won't have to worry about me looking after you any longer. Apparently I can't even look after my own organization. Because really, you just pulled the fucking rug out from under her.
Yeah. You know?
She doesn't trust herself to look out for you anymore.
Look. You just gotta... I don't know, stop. Just gotta stop. People here are miserable. Get some more fucking food. I mean, you run this place with an iron fist. Or did you not know that? Maybe you didn't know that the Marines would routinely beat people within an inch of their life. Was that not in Fylvia's reports? Did Mard not let you know?
She gets a little hurt and offended at this point. She says, "I happen to have cameras all over this city, and if someone was being beaten, I would have seen something."
Right. Or maybe you're too busy following me around with those cameras, and all the others are just pointed in the convenient direction.
I was going to say, out of character, it's not like the Marines don't know exactly where the fuck the cameras are.
Yeah. And it's not like the Marines don't know where the cameras are.
Very well. I have to go. I have to get out of here. I'm sorry to have bothered you, Hollis.
You can't walk back by yourself.
She looks up at you, you know, hurt but very grateful, and
I'm gonna go to the door, and I'm gonna grab, you know, throw on my, you know, I'm gonna get dressed, and then I'm gonna tell her, you know, stay here. I'm gonna walk next door to, you know, get one of my men, and tell him to take her back to the gate.
Okay, so we're not. I was picturing if we wanted to have a really cute moment. We can say that since your umbrella is kind of a power, like a status symbol, you could like walk her home yourself and hold the umbrella over her.
Oh no, I hate her.
You hate her. Hate her guts.
Oh, right. She dragged me to this place because she wanted to watch because she couldn't let go. No,
that's fair. No, you just wrecked her. You know. Yeah.
I'm doing her enough of a service by giving her an escort back. Are there Marines on the streets at night?
Probably around. But
yeah.
I'm guessing since it's a police state, basically there's a strict curfew, so right. Nobody's supposed to be out.
Yeah. Well, in that case, she could probably get back by herself.
Well, I mean, I'd have Prude walk her back or somebody.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Prude will walk her back. Prude lives next door. Take the governor back to the gates.
Yes, ma'am.
Prude was Cockney before.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Nailing that accent to the wall. What was I going to say? I'm gonna say that that Larger looks, you know, even more devastated because she thought that you were going to walk her back.
Yep.
Oh, man, you just, like, heaped this woman with emotional pain. All right, so that's...
He's just returning the favor.
Yeah, no, that's...
He is not happy.
So, yeah, that's...
And then
my question.
The Dimmer Dammer goes back inside his house and closes the door and just sighs and doesn't pick up his book again, just pours himself, like, a huge drink. And just sits down and starts drinking it.
Yeah, well, we put that one to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the only loose end that we have to tie up with the story, I guess, if we wanted to, is, what's his name? Clarvis.
No, he's fucked.
Is he really a loose end?
No, not really.
I figured he's kind of, I mean, I know his oath wasn't broken, but he is just kind of... I mean, he's pretty much back where he started.
Yeah, no. He's still, you know, a crazy guy.
You probably won't talk shit anymore that much anymore.
So. And I think this is an okay place to end it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think it's good.
So how do things turn out for the colony? I think that maybe Laudra resigns.
Well, I mean, I think it would. If she resigns, if you think she resigns, then
I would. You know, you pretty much called into question. You know, like she thought she was running a nice, tight, ordered ship, but there were people. There was apparently a huge drug trade that she barely knew about, well, and you know, Marines beating people in the streets.
Here's a possible thing I'm thinking is since the ground's unstable, a hole in the wall forms. Larger, you know, she loses. She's got destroyed by him. So her iron will is destroyed. The captain of the Marines is out of commission.
Yeah.
So
Mard was never really.
Yeah.
He's a judge. Power player.
Yeah. Maybe.
Prisoners take over.
Maybe Hollis decides to take a revolution and takes it over.
Yeah. I mean, I could see, you know, if the inner wall collapses. I mean, I think part of it would be if sinkholes, like, start forming.
Right.
I think the outer wall, like, I would imagine just building the colony, they would make the inner area more stable than the outer area. Like, they would reinforce the ground and everything.
Yeah.
So that probably wouldn't fall away right away. Like, but, you know, there'd be holes in the fences because of sinkholes or sliding pillars or everything. And eventually it would get to the point where the people are like, you know, or every once in a while we'd have to deal with, you know, some kind of animal getting in. But now, you know, the natives are able to get in and some of the bigger animals are. Mm-hmm. And it eventually, you know, a crack forms in the outer wall, and they, yeah, there's a revolution.
All right. So how does Hollis survive? Is he a new king for life, or?
I don't know about for life. It's probably not going to be. I would imagine it's not going to be much better. There's just going to be, you know, meet the new boss, same as the old boss, pretty much. You know, he's going to be. It's going to. You know what? I don't know. I don't know what kind of. I don't know if Hollis wants to run the whole colony. He just wants to.
What would he do with Larger, though? What happens to Larger if they're in the uprising?
Throw her out with the rest of them. Mm. I don't think he would kill her. I mean, I think he has enough sympathy left for her to not kill her. But he would probably make her live where he was living, in the tin can huts, and just let her know just how fucking awful this place was.
Even more terrible now that
it's all her fault that she's there. He's there. Yeah. All right.
And I feel like Captain Glower would probably get killed in the uprising.
And, yeah, Philby would become your new Captain Sharp.
I don't know. I don't know if Fulvia would turn over to the criminals that much.
Well, if you kick her out, she's going to be the one protecting Phil.
Oh, so you mean that the governor would become the Dimmer Dammer and she would... Yeah, okay, that I could see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although I feel like if Hollis did take over, it would be less of a straight cat, because it wouldn't be like authorities and convicts anymore.
Yeah, but I'm saying,
everybody has to work together here.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. I'm just saying on the other side, you know.
I got Phil, you. Yeah,
the one protecting.
That I can see. Yeah, like Fulvia feels like to make up for her inadequacy, she would have to protect the governor or the former governor.
Laudra's got a new bodyguard for life.
Yeah,
basically.
One-eyed bodyguard.
One-eyed bodyguard. She's the L driver.
Yeah.
What do you think? Was Hollis pissed at Levy for?
No,
giving him up.
No. That was the point of Levy.
Yeah.
So he stays inside the wall.
Yeah, Levy can stay inside the wall.
That's nice.
And I'm guessing. I think that Clarvis would probably get fucking murdered.
You know, no, I feel like he wouldn't. I feel like he's one of those fuck ups. Like he wouldn't even be able to do that right.
He would
there'd be a big revolution like he always wanted,
right?
And but he'd somehow wind up in like the exact same spot.
He still
like nothing would change for
him.
He's
still on the other side of the wall.
Yeah, he's still that. Like nothing changes for him. He's such a fuck up that like when the convicts take over, they're just like, no, you're out here.
You're still out there.
All right,
go clean out the shit pipes.
What about Keech?
Keech, I feel like Keech would just start off the drug trade again.
Yeah.
He becomes
the abbot.
Yeah, he'd probably go become the abbot, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's, you know,
and
he's he wants to make money.
The authority off-world doesn't give enough of a shit to send, like, reinforcement marines?
I don't think so.
Yeah, probably not.
Because, I mean, I guess it would depend on how they would communicate.
I would say probably not, because there's really nothing of value here.
Yeah.
You know, so it'd just be like, oh, all right, I guess.
I mean, it's not like we really have a way to leave the planet anyway.
Right.
So, I don't really think
we're stuck here.
The convicts are still there.
Yeah.
Good for them.
It still takes care of their problem.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right. So that was another episode of Durrance.
Yeah, I think that was a good one.
Yeah, I like that one.
Burkstown on RFS 617.
There was some nice closure there at the end.
Yeah, no, it was definitely good.
All right. We will catch you later, everybody.
Bye-bye.